Hello, GoSite. Ongold here. Wow. What else to say but wow after all of this? I just got back to West Virginia, and I'm not really the type of person prone to reflection or celebration. I've got a dull sheep hunt and some pretty serious ultra running to do this summer. And so even before unpacking my bags yesterday, we went for a 10 or 11 mile trail run up on Tuscarora Mountain. And I wish you guys could have seen me from negative 27 to positive 87 in 48 hours. I was definitely a hurting unit, that is for sure. I want to try and answer some of your questions. I have a look back at the thread there. Firstly, I think with regards to the booking agent and outfitter's responsibilities here, you all, and I know it's tough to get a grasp on this, but you must understand that they have very little, very, very little, if any, control over what goes on in these Inuit communities on the ground. There has been some, I suppose the right word would be social instability with regards to the guiding situation in Pond Inlet. But even apart from that, you've got to understand that you're not going to find Inuit guides anywhere with significant bow hunting experience. I typically hunt unguided in the States, but when I can, if I'm going to go out, I book all those hunts through Mark at BSC, and I'll continue to do so. It's not because I don't do my own research. I assure you I'm an absolutely obsessive researcher. But the reason for it is because when something goes wrong, you need a third party on your side with more political and financial clout and also a long-standing relationship with the outfitter that you, as a client, do not have. I honestly don't think that I could have even hunted Pond Inlet without Mark's help. The community there and the guide initially absolutely refused to take a bull hunter. And that was primarily because of a dangerous situation that had arisen on a previous bow hunt. So it was only after a lot, actually, negotiating and convincing them that this was even doable with a bow that they did agree to take me. And I hope after my experience, they will continue to take bow hunters. Although, to be honest, Mark might not be comfortable sending someone else there. And so, to summarize this part of this, Mark's research matched my research. The pond was the place to go, and I don't think I could have even gotten there if it weren't for his help. And I'm ecstatic that I got to hunt a place where I could cut 25 sets of polar bear tracks in one day. It is absolutely unheard of. The rest of this story, as far as I'm concerned, is just a part of the adventure. Now, with regards to the importability situation, Grant or Boobound is absolutely correct. The skin is not the primary reason to go on this hunt. My reasons for doing this this hunt go way beyond what I can communicate here on both sites. But here's a little hint. The Inuit way of life, and by that I mean life on the land, a life of subsistence and persistence hunting, is being lost. In fact, it's likely already gone. And I think that understanding that is where you're going to find the answers to why we hunt and also the keys to the importance of hunting in our society. If I don't share these things with you, and we as bow hunters don't articulate these things to non-hunters in an honorable way and in a sexy way, then our way of life is going to be gone just like the Inuit. Now, having said all of that, every bit of the meat was utilized by the Inuit. The skin is going to be going to Edmonton, where my taxidermist will do the finishing and the prep work on the hide, and then it'll be wet tanned and stored in a frozen fashion. And as I understand it, it can be preserved this way almost indefinitely. Either until our government changes the importability laws, I move to Canada, or I find a worthy place to display this bear. And for the record, Bo Sight, I'm open to suggestions, especially Canadian Bo Sighters. I'm open to suggestions on this. Baby seal tastes like fishy bear. That is super, super tender. I'm still alive, Johnny Laird, after eating a ton of it. But believe me, it ain't Dana's cooking, that's for sure. The bear himself, I squared conservatively, true squaring, between 8.6 and 8.7. So a pretty nice bear. And I'm tickled to death with him, that's for sure. What else can I say? If it weren't for Pat, none of this would be possible. I'm a very, very lucky guy, and I know it. I've got the best girlfriend ever. You've got to be tough to deal with a guy like me on a day-to-day basis, especially when I'm gone hunting for 5 months of the year. My mom and dad, they kick ass. I killed my first whitetail with a bow when I was 10. And I can remember my dad taking me to the video store to rent whitetails eye-to-eye. And now Alan Altizer is here commenting on my thread. It doesn't get any better than that, people. It does not get any better than that. I'm just a simple guy living a simple dream. The real heroes, I think, in these stories are the animals that we hunt. That great white beast staring down at me and then looking out at the flow edge, surveying his domain for one last time, an image I'll never forget. Thank you, Bo Sight, for making it possible.